So what I'm going to be talking about this morning, yes, it is Colossians, but God got me up this morning really, really early, messed me up. I was on the floor. Tim talks about messed up, but, you know. So he took a severe right turn on everything I was thought I was going to be talking about. So going to be playing a little bit of winging it. He's given me most of it, and some of it I'm just going to have to step into and take that, you know, that faith step of risk. And there we go. So here we go. We're in Colossians 2, and I'm going to, you guys read up. Did you guys do your homework? Okay. Well, so we're still going to read through the whole thing because it's only 23 verses. I mean, come on. I think we can do 23 verses. So I built a PowerPoint. Hopefully you guys can read it. If not, I will read it, be reading it also. And then we're just going to talk. We're going to talk about it a little bit and see what God would have us say in here. Once I do that, at some point in this, I'm probably also going to do a detour over to Romans 6. And you'll see how that kind of links in because there's a stream in Colossians 2 that Paul also hits on in Ephesians, he hits on in Romans, and there's a reason why he does this, because this is a common theme throughout his epistles, but in specifically on the churches of Colossa, of Ephesians, and he refers to Laodicea, and I'll be later showing you a map of kind of why. Can you guys see that? Is it a barely? If it's a barely, then I have another thing, but it'll be in a different translation. Okay. Let's try the other one. Benji, why don't you bring up Media Shout and bring it up in there? Welcome. Yes, you got that. When you're building PowerPoint, you're never quite sure, even up at like 24 point bold, of how it's going to look once it gets up on the screen. You know, that's a little easier, huh? All right. Let me find a stand here. Okay, here we go. Thank you so much. Give me a little grace. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so that no one would deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should, that your faith in Christ is strong. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Amen. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, we know who that is, rather than from Christ. For in Christ lives the fullness of God in human body. Okay, so I'm going to stop right there with a little pause. If anybody has those guys come knocking on the door on a Saturday, this is one of the scriptures. Okay, just saying, there was another one back in the previous chapter when they say, is Jesus God? Okay, just said, highlight right there, put a little note in the margin. All right. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him, you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. It's right over there, guys. He nailed it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths, for these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or worship of angels, saying they have had visions of these things, and their sinful minds have made them proud, and that they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. For you have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world? Such as I don't handle, and I don't taste, and I don't touch, and I don't drink, and I don't go to movies. I don't go to such and such a town. I don't go to that, all right? Okay, we can make that list really long, guys. Okay? Such rules are mere human teachings, that things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help for a person's evil desires. And this is the word of the Lord. Paul hits on a number of things, and there's a lot of people that have done a lot of studies on this chapter. And I'll hit real quickly on what those were. In fact, I was all prepared to go into a lot of intellectual arguments, a lot of strong theology, and God stopped me and said, let's make this simple. I spoke through my wife and my friends and said, no, keep it simple. So I'll go quickly through the themes that Paul, first we heard Paul's solicitude, where he came through and he talks about his concern for Colossae and for Laodicea, and Ephesus is in that too. Benji, could you flip back over to the PowerPoint? You have to minimize media shot. Okay, go all the way to the last slide, I think it is, where the map is. Is it moving? Is it moving either? If none move in a second, then we'll just move on. Okay, we'll move on. Okay, so in northern Turkey is where Colossae was, okay? Within about a 100-mile circle, there were three churches between Laodicea, Colossae were over to the eastern side with Ephesus over on, there we go. Okay, so see Colossae there in the box. There. Okay, got Laodicea up here. You got Ephesus up over here. So, in a very small region, Paul had set up churches in that region, and so we see similar teachings being taught to that because they were experiencing some of the same problems because they had kind of the same demographics. They were the same peoples, the same cultures they're dealing with. They had Jews, they had Greeks, they had a lot of Gnostics were also in this area. And what was starting to happen is it was starting to get infused into the churches. And Paul is hearing this, which we heard last week. He was talking about the brothers that had come to him with the news of these false teachings that were starting to hit them. And we see the same thing when you go to Ephesians, where he's over here. And then finally, on Laodicea, of course, you know, Jesus himself mentions Laodicea in the book of Revelation of where they got to. The one that he wishes that they were either hot nor cold, but because they were lukewarm, he would vomit them out of his mouth. These are those churches. And so in this things, he's warning against philosophy. Be careful of being cheated by philosophy or empty deceit. Remember that. He talks about it. And in this thing, he's talking about things like syncretism. He's talking about Gnosticism, which was arguing against the deity of Christ and in mystical knowledge. And I'm not going to go real deep into that stuff, but just say this ties in really close to what we see now when we talk about other religions, or we see in the New Age that comes in where they start looking about channeling. They have their crystals. They've got their thing. Those would be the hardcore. The other area where this starts to come in is a thing called syncretism. Big word, meaning bringing two different religious beliefs and trying to merge them together. So we see this, and it has happened in the church. If you think around it in the church, there are places where sometimes whole denominations or people within a church body, all of a sudden you'll come up and you'll see somebody with a crystal around their neck. And they've actually been to a shop that's an occultic shop and gotten a crystal and convinced themselves that, well, it's okay, or if I pray over it, it's okay. Well, some of the stuff, well, is not okay. And we can carry this too far, too. I mean, there's that, and that's the thing. So we have to take this stuff in prayer. There's people that start practicing Hindu and Buddhist things that are going on, but they have them under other names. But they start practicing them, and they start doing them, and they start going to these things. They start, and we do these things at the same time. These things come in the church. In some churches, I mean, literally, they start holding classes in this stuff in the church. They start denying the sufficiency of Christ. There's whole denominations now that will honor other religions, have them come in and pray with them in their churches. When they do this, they deny the cross, because if there was more than one way to heaven, Christ did not have to come. It's that simple. Because why would God send his own son to come and live the life that he lived and be tortured to death if it was only for a subset of people, but there was really this other way, and you can get it through being good, or you can get it through praying to Allah, or you can get it through being, you know, chanting in a temple, or you can get it through all the other things that are taught that are alternative ways to God. Syncretism. We see it all around us. This is the one that we need to be wary of, the alternate philosophies that come in that fly right in the face of God's teachings. And we sit here and we have places in the church where they try to go into Scripture and redo the interpretation of the words in Scripture to meet the belief they believe. That's heresy at the least, blasphemy at the most. So this is a tough chapter because he's giving them very, very hard warnings. He's also giving them lighter warnings because he's got the Jews in there, which we heard was, okay, the Jews are coming in. Hey, you Greeks, now that you're Christians, you've got to become Jews. So you need physical circumcision. Now you need to start, you know, going kosher. You need to start doing the high holy days. You need to start doing the minor days. You got to start doing all these things. And he's going, no. Okay, that's kind of Paul's answer. No, you don't have to. We don't. No, you can. There's nothing wrong with people that, you know, that want to go and, you know, do the high holy days in a messianic church or something like that. It's still okay, but that's a choice. But versus a commandment, a mandate. Because Christ broke the mandate in the new covenant. Angel worship. There's another part of syncretism. And we've heard of that one. How many people have, you've seen whole stores they have devoted to angels. I've always found that kind of creepy myself. And I like angels. I depend on them. I mean, I know I've got the bros hanging about, and they're sitting here born and battling for me and everything else. But guess what? They work for the same God I do. Right? They get orders from him, not from me. You know? So, and then ascetism. I think that's the right pronunciation. Okay, so that's the self-flagellation thing, you know, and that goes in multiple religions. I did a little lookup on that. It's all over the place. You pick a religion, it's in there. But it was even in sects of the early Catholic Church. In fact, even still exists in some places. In fact, there's been movies where they've shown the guys that wear you know those weird things that some of the bikers wear where they've got the neck bands with the spikes on them and stuff? Well, these guys wear them the other way around with the spikes in towards the skin so that it hurts when they move, or they've got it around their calves and things and their thighs so that every time they step, it stabs into their skin to remind them to keep their flesh and their sin under control. And what Paul immediately said, well, it doesn't work. Because if we haven't had that surgery on the inside, that thing on the outside is not going to do anything. Okay? Okay. So now I have crossed off the list of all the things that are there, and now I'm going to start heading towards what God gave me. All of this doesn't matter. If. See, what I heard was this. That we need to grow our roots deep. We need to grow our roots. We sat there, the whole sermon was practically spoken in the words of the first couple of songs. I knew what the song set was, but it's like I hadn't gone through the words and sit there and I'm going, well, gosh, the whole sermon's done. Okay, that's really cool. So guys, we're sitting here that first, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. That's verse 9. Remember, we were dead in our trust. So I'm pointing up particular verses that are meeting on them. We're going to talk about them a little bit. Remembering that we were dead in our trespasses and uncircumcised flesh, God made us alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of our debt that stood against us with its legal demands, as he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. I'm speaking a different translation than we just did on purpose. I'm flipping real quick over to Romans 6. Now Romans 5, at the very end, you know how it is, our chapter breaks always don't necessarily break on where the letter broke. So if you go right at the end, he's talking about the law. Consequently, as one trespass results in condemnation for all people, so all one righteous act just resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as though the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many were made righteous. The law also brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace must reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And the answer is? Why? Give me a why. Why is that not true? We see it doing it. We see it happening all the time, guys. Yes, absolutely. Does. So that works really good in the next verse. Thank you. By no means. So are those who have died to sin, how can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. The reason is we're supposed to live a new life. So here's the thing, guys. Jesus is not on that cross anymore. This is this is one of the differences that we have. You know, granted, I'm not going to poke anything at a Catholic church, because guess what? They're our brothers and sisters. They are. Okay? They are. So I'm not talking about that, but it's always astounded me with my friends that are born again Catholics that on the crucifix, they leave Jesus on the cross. And they have. Over 2,000 years, they've left Jesus on the cross. And they understand the blood. They understand the passion. They taught us, guys. I'm just saying. Guys, they taught us. Okay, so we don't slam something that if it had not been for them, we would not be here. But what we had to remember was Sunday. We don't live on Friday. We live on Sunday. And on Sunday, he was off the cross. And he was down in the garden, and he was there talking with the women. So, where does this leave us? My feeling is it leaves us, he's giving us a warning to grow our roots deep into him and to know him and remember the teachings that we have been taught, so that all those other things that we are not drawn away into them and we can recognize them. We need to be like the Bereans and study and understand what's going on and not accept everything that is told to us, even though somebody may have multiple PhDs behind their name or be on television or anything else. That doesn't mean we believe it. Go and research it. Find out if it's true. If it's true, then we can deal with it. If it's wrong, spit it out and reject it. And so one of the words I got this morning that I wrote down and I just in real cryptic things is, and I talked about it a little bit earlier, is that we are to live now because he is off the cross and because we have accepted him, we are now kingdom people and we are to live in the fullness of the kingdom. Free as kingdom people, sons and daughters of the king. And that's one that's a lot for a lot of people that have wounding. Those words are hard to receive. And that's why I asked for that prayer earlier, and I'm going to ask it again later, because I got this a lot of times. We have a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of us that are wounded. All. Okay, all of us are wounded. There are various forms, but we all have our wounds. We all have the baggage that we carry. And through the process of sanctification, God cleans us up. You know, he does. And it how much cleaning we get depends on how much we are willing to give in and surrender. Pride keeps us from moving forward. So there were four particular words, and I'm probably expecting I'm going to get others, and I'm going to ask for you guys that get words to listen to me, of things that are being dealt with in this room right now, that if this is you, I'm going to ask you to be brave enough to come up for prayer. And it's the hardest thing in the world. I know for some people it's just excruciating, but I'm telling you, it's such a freeing. We're called to freedom. Called to freedom. So the first thing, obviously, sin in our own lives. And I'm not going to make individuals say, hey, all you sinners, come on up here. You know, I'm not doing that. Pain. And that can be physical pain or internal wounding, pain that we're dealing with right now. Grief and bitterness. Those right now, those are the four major ones that the Lord gave me that he wants to deal with this morning. You ready? Okay, guys. So Lord, come. If the worship team wants to come up. Lord God, I just ask you to open up hearts right now. Come and pour out. Pour out your heart. Touch each person here. For every person, I ask you to fill them afresh and anew with your Spirit, Lord. For those that you have a call on, that you want to do a little surgery, or you want to bring some healing, cut off some baggage, Lord, that you would open up their hearts to receive. Lord, this is about you and your people.
Jesus died for me. child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I'm chosen. I am chosen.